This, I'm opening the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety. It is June 26, 2017, and I understand that we're on a timeline because the House members, as you probably know, this we're getting to that time of the session where everything is chop, chop, chop. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 5042, the Oregon Health Youth Authority, and Mr. Burka. I'm so used to saying Health Authority. I can't switch over to
Youth Authority. Yeah, Health Authority we've done already.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Committee members, House Bill 5042 is the budget bill for the Oregon Youth Authority. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending a total funds budget of $358.8 million. That is 9.9% less than 2015 and 9% less than current service level. There are some significantly large changes to this budget, so we will walk through them fairly quickly. The Oregon Youth Authority doesn't have as many program divisions as, for example, the state police did. There are not as many packages that affect multiple parts of the budget. There's one package that affects several parts of the budget. It's package 101, and it provides, it does two things. I'm sorry, this one only affects facility programs. Package 101 does a couple of things. It provides $1 million of general fund, and it establishes six ongoing skill development coordinator positions to further reduce the use of isolation as a primary behavior modification tool in the close custody facilities. The other thing this this package does is provide $1.86 million in ongoing general fund support and establishing nine positions to continue the Young Women's Transition Project at the Oak Creek Youth Correctional Facility. This program was started as a pilot project in the current biennium with one-time funding, and so this will make funding ongoing to serve up to 20 young women in OIA's custody. Package 102, also in the facility program, is a package that affects two places. In total, the package provides $1.6 million and establishes a total of eight positions to resolve double-filled positions in the agency. In the facility division, it provides $232,497 of general fund and establishes one new ongoing position, and this position will work on the electronic health record system, sort of maximizing the use of that throughout the agency. There's one other package that affects two divisions in the Youth Authority, and that is Package 105. It's called the Net Zero Package. It does two things. The first thing it does is it eliminates 12 positions in the facilities division, and it does that in order to fund 10 positions newly established in the program support division. And this is kind of a big shift that supports the youth reformation system in the agency. In the facilities division, it reduces a little more than $2 million of general fund, and it will put that general fund back in the program support division. The second thing this package does is it shifts funds between services and supplies and personnel services categories in the budget in order to establish five new ongoing career and technical education coordinator positions. The Youth Authority has been piloting a program to better coordinate what's called the VSOY program, the Vocational Education Services for Older Youth, and this will make that project ongoing. These are technical and career education services that are provided to youth who either have finished high school or have gotten a GED or are older than some of the other youth. There's a fairly significant LFO analyst adjustment in the facilities division, and that closes the North Coast Youth Correctional Facility as of October of this year. This action reduces $8.1 million of general fund and reduces 41.57 FTE. I wanted to make a little note that you would expect to see a corresponding reduction of positions with that kind of an FTE reduction. We didn't reduce the positions because they need that authority in order to close, carry on until they close. So you'll see those come out in the next biennium. Okay. Finally, in the facilities program, in package 812, we're eliminating 15 positions that, as sort of a housekeeping item, these are positions and other funds expenditure limitation of $2 million that have basically been in the budget as kind of empty limitation since a state-county detention partnership ended 10 years ago. In the community programs division, there's also another kind of, there are several significant changes, and they're all in package 801. The first change is adding almost $3.3 million of general fund, $264,000 of other funds, and federal funds expenditure limitation of almost $2.9 million to update the rate model for the for behavioral rehabilitative services provided by the agency. These are services provided through contractors, and they have not had their rate that the state pays significantly increased in quite a long time. So this will implement several recommendations from a work group that worked on that.
Rates that are done here are the same rates that are done in the human services budget as well.
That's right.
Yeah. They're matched.
But the state is considered to be one payer to providers, so the rates have to be the same no matter what agency is paying. Another significant action in this program area is the elimination of the mandated caseload package. This is a package that is included when the current service level is built, and it's based on the population forecast at the time. So this package back in the fall added funding for 82 additional community placement beds and would have added four new positions. By reducing this adjustment, the general fund saves a little more than $6.9 million. And other funds expenditure limitation is reduced by $488,000. Federal funds expenditure limitation by $5.2 million. This package further reduces funding for community beds by $12.2 million of general fund, $916,000 of other funds, and $10.2 million of federal funds. What this adjustment does is it brings the total budgeted beds in the agency's budget down from 658 to about 500. That number is much closer to what the actual usage is by the agency and has been over the past several months. That preserves a little bit of flexibility for the agency in terms of kind of surge capacity, but not a whole lot. The agency wanted me to know that if it turned out that there was greater demand for services than 500 beds would provide, they would be wanting to come back and talk to the e-board about that. Finally, in the program support division, we see the other part of package 102. That was the package that provided a total of $1.6 million of general fund and eight positions for double fills. In this division, seven of those positions are added. Four of them are IT positions, and three of them are administrative or management positions. And finally, this is also the other half of the package 105 net zero package. This adds that $2 million of general fund that was reduced from the facilities division, and it modestly increases the federal funds expenditure limitation by $62,000.
Chair?
Yes. Senator Huber.
Thank you. I had thought we'd had some conversation when this agency was presenting about some costs related to data system migration and stuff. Are those included in this budget?
Madam Chair, Senator Steiner Hayward, no. There had been a proposal initially in the agency request budget as part of that package to kind of resolve double fills and make other administrative savings to migrate the youth authorities kind of server operations to the state data center. Mm-hmm. Along the way, there was a lot of confusion about what exactly that package, what was the right size of that package, what it should have contained. And in fact, we did not end up including it in this recommendation. So that is another thing that the agency will be coming back to talk to you about.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Rep. Starr.
Madam Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5042.
Co-Chair Starks moved the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5042, I believe with modifications, and we have some modifications too. Do we not?
We will have an amendment.
We will have.
But this is just to move.
I just move to move the recommendations to House Bill 5032. Is there discussion? Any objection?
I did not bring paper for the key performance measures. Nevertheless, we will carry on. Thank you, Representative Stark. LFO had two recommendations to the agency's key performance measures. One is to propose changing key performance measures 12 and 13 from measuring recidivism at 12, 24, and 36 months to only measuring it at 36 months. The agency recommended doing it this way, and LFO agreed because this is a response to some legislative direction to measure recidivism in the same way that the Department of Corrections
which
does,
is 3 years.
Which is at 3 years. And because of the timing of the way that new charges go through court systems, sometimes measuring at a short interval isn't entirely accurate because a new charge can happen and it won't be set over to court until several months hence. So you get a little bit of a skewed view of recidivism in a short time period. So we thought that was a good change. The Youth Authority also proposed changing KPM number 14, which is its customer service key performance measure. And it's a very good proposal. It's to capture customer service data kind of through the lens of the positive human development culture that the agency is implementing throughout. And so the way to do that is propose to survey the youth, their parents, the staff, about how they felt they were treated throughout their contact with the Youth Authority. This is a really good idea. And the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that this get implemented for the 1921 biennium. It's been piloted, the survey has, and the agency hasn't really had enough time to establish kind of what is the meaningful target, like what would you expect, and what would provide useful information for the agency. So LFO recommends sticking with the current customer service KPM, but working on the replacement so that it's ready to go with good targets for 1921.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator Steiner.
I'm just curious about KPM number 3, youth-to-youth injuries. The last reported result was 20, which is great, but the target for 2018 is 32 and for 2019 is 25. So why are we going
up and then back
instead of our target, because they've already done a great job of reducing that number.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative or Senator Steiner Hayward. I think the agency is in the room and they may be best prepared to answer that question.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot, folks, but I'm just curious about why we aren't building on our excess. Okay. They're consulting.
Who?
They're consulting.
Mr. O'Leary.
Mr. O'Leary. I'm sorry, Mr. O'Leary, but I just was surprised by that one.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you. Subcommittee. Co-Chair Stark and Senator Steiner Hayward, thanks for the question. The quick answer I got was that it just carried forward the same number that what it was before.
So it didn't change.
That was my understanding. You have something in front of you that suggests that.
What I have, if I could, is that the last reported result was 20, which is great, but that the target for 2018 is 32. Which maybe
the target was
from previous years,
yes.
But one would hope that KPMs should be generally, I mean, I could see raising it to 25 to give you a little bit of leeway.
Right.
But given the progress that you all are making, I I don't think there's much we can do about it at this point, or maybe there is, but I'm just surprised. And I wouldn't think that it's in line with what you all have been trying to accomplish and have been accomplishing with kids
Certainly.
In OIA custody.
I think she's trying to beg the answer from you that says that, yes, we will strive to actually do better than the 20, because you didn't change the numbers and 32 is giving you a lot more leeway than what you need.
Thank you for the assist. We are happy to do that.
Thank you.
And I apologize. I don't think you actually introduced yourself for the record.
Oh, you're right. I didn't. Sorry. I was flustered. Joe O'Leary, Deputy Director, for the record.
Thank you. Thank you.
Madam Chair and Senator Steiner Hayward, the other thing I can do is go back and look at the results from the periods prior to the most recent result.
Okay.
It happens sometimes that there's a big dip.
Yeah.
And we don't want to adjust the targets based on a one-year drop.
Okay.
So I'll get that information for you.
Thank you, Ms. Naburka.
Brought up a question.
Co-Chair Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Winters. Back to Mr. O'Leary. When we're mixing populations where, you know, facilities between remodels or, you know, a facility closing, when you have groups that are kind of acclimated to one area, now all of a sudden they're put with other youth, do you see a pattern of the, you know, inmate to or youth to youth injuries increase during those seasons?
Co-Chair Stark, thank you for that question. So far, we've got three units that have moved from Hillcrest to McLaren in the past 6 weeks. And I'm really happy to report that though we expected an uptick, mm-hmm. There has not been a significant uptick. Actually, the first week, there were no YIRs, youth incident reports. That means no significant incidents at all, which, pardon my cough, is pretty incredible. That said, my sense is that there is going to be a lot of disruption from the continued move. The units that are scheduled to move in the next few weeks are the younger trauma-affected, mental health-affected youth that tend to be more reactive, that tend to be involved in incidents more frequently. So my expectation would be that we see an uptick in incidents over the next few months until things kind of settle down and folks settle in.
Thank you. Could I have a motion, please?
Yep. Madam Chair, I move LFO recommendation on key performances with modifications.
Co-Chair Stark moved the LFO recommendations on key performance measures with the modification of discussion that we just held. Is there discussion? Is there objection? So moved.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee members, there are some recommended changes that are contained in the -1 amendment. LFO recommends a budget of $310,419,322 general fund, $11,029,866 other funds, $37,385,204 federal funds with 1,023 positions, which is 950.68 FTE.
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 5042.
Co-Chair Stark moves the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5042. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none.
Recommendation or just go? All right. I move House Bill 5042 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Stark moves House Bill 5042 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. Approved. I'll take it to full. You want to take it to the House floor?
Sure.
And I'll take the Senate floor. I would just want to take the opportunity to thank the Oregon Youth Authority staff and the director for their cooperation with working with us on this particular budget. It started out in the with Ms. Naburka talking about the amount of reductions that had to be taken with this agency. So I just want to thank you, for your cooperation so that we were able to put together a budget for you. And I know that you're pleased that you got your transitional facility completed and that the double fields were put back in place. And so, but I do thank you for all of your assistance. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5042. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 844 relating to inmate trust account monies. Ms. Naburka.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, committee members. Senate Bill 844 authorizes the Department of Corrections to collect certain amounts in an inmate's trust account, both for a transitional fund and for payment of court-ordered financial obligations. The bill specifies the percentage of funds that the department can collect from an inmate's trust account and establishes a priority tier system for payment of court-ordered financial obligations. The Department of Justice and the Oregon Judicial Department are directed in the bill to provide DOC with an accounting of each inmate's court-ordered financial obligations and to apply funds received from the department to those obligations. Department of Corrections notes that the enhancement of the inmate trust accounting system, which is their banking system for inmates, will need to be enhanced in order to make these account segregations work. And the enhancement will cost $275,000. The enhancements won't work in turn unless the whole inmate trust account system itself is upgraded. The agency uses an industry standard software package for its inmate trust account system, but it's several versions behind and is no longer supported. So the department has identified one-time other funds that can be used for the upgrade, which is estimated to cost $500,000. There is a dash it's a dash two amendment. I have it wrong in this paperwork. There's a dash two amendment on OLIS that provides $500,000 of other funds expenditure limitation to the agency and also adds a $275,000 general fund appropriation to the Department of Corrections budget in order to implement the provisions of this bill.
And colleagues, we had quite a discussion about this, particularly the topic of not using bonding funds in order to fund this. And so that is a reason for the change in how it's being financed.
Madam Chair, I move the adoption of the dash A2 amendment to Senate Bill 844.
Co-Chair Stark moves the adoption of the A2 amendments to Senate Bill 844. Is there discussion? Is there any objection?
Oh, I guess we need to move on, huh? I move Senate Bill 844 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Stark recommends the Senate Bill 844 as amended by the dash two amendments to be moved to the Ways and Means full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative Sanchez.
So understanding that that change, I still do not believe it's a cost-effective effort. One of the things that's a big concern for me is that the numbers that were essentially handed out about an average amount of money in an inmate's account, I think was $120 a month was the number that was put out there, when in reality your average inmate does not necessarily make that much. A lot of those monies come from families. They are put into those accounts in an effort to help them be able to either, you know, buy commissary, have phone calls, all of those types of things. And I feel like that is, this effort is actually going to be more difficult on families than it would be necessarily on the inmates themselves. And I would object to that. I object to families already suffer when somebody goes to prison. And it does cost a lot of money for them to communicate with inmates inside the prison system. I know that you know, that's being looked at in terms of trying to figure out a more cost-effective method for phone calls and those types of things. But also the commissary pieces actually cost quite a lot of money. And I just don't think, given the amount of money that might be able to be pulled from those accounts, that it's a cost-effective thing for just for the people of the state of Oregon.
Any further discussion? Objection.
I object.
Okay. No, it's Representative Sanchez as object. Who would like to carry to floor?
Okay.
You carry it to the floor.
I will.
I'll carry it to. You want to carry it to full, Senator Fredericks?
No, I'd rather not.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay, I'll carry it to full. Not unless you're interested. Okay.
I'll pass. Thanks.
You'll pass.
I'm having more than my fair share.
I will close the work session on Senate Bill 844, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 1041.
Chair Winters, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1041 directs the Criminal Justice Commission to study, track, and account for all the public monies appropriated for and expended on alcohol and drug treatment, and report on the results to the Legislative Assembly on or before September 15th of 2019. We have a dash one amendment proposed that appropriates $284,344 of general fund to the Criminal Justice Commission for a full-time limited duration policy analyst position. That's one FTE. The position would develop a system to track alcohol and drug treatment funds and identify treatment outcomes. The position would continue for the first 3 months of the 1921 biennium until the report due in September is finalized.
Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1041.
Co-Chair Stark moves the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1041. Is there discussion? Is there an objection?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1041 as amended to the full committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Stark moves Senate Bill 1041 as amended to the full committee with the dash one amendments to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? That one went too easy.
It's a great bill. It's a really important bill.
And no, you won't carry my bill to full.
I'm sitting on the floor.
You want it to the floor? I think Sanchez should carry that to the floor.
Sure, you betcha. All right.
It's a great bill. I'm really happy about this one.
Okay, I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 1041, and I will open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 3061. And John, you want to walk us through House Bill 3061, please?
Chair Winters, members of the committee, House Bill 3061 creates the 9-member task force on anonymous text message services charged with studying changes needed in Oregon law to regulate and prohibit the use of internet websites to send anonymous, abusive, and harassing text messages, as well as for the delivery of controlled substances. The task force is required to report its findings and recommendations to the legislature by September 15th of 2019. The task force is effective January 1 of 2018 and sunsets December 31st, 2019. The staff measure summary and the fiscal impact statement are available on OLIS. The measure had a hearing in the House Judiciary Committee on April 3rd. The measure is anticipated to have a minimal fiscal impact to the Department of Justice for staffing the task force and a minimal fiscal impact to the other agencies that are affected by the task force.
I see Representative Lively here. And is that Robert Schwartz?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, co-chairs of this committee. My name is John Lively. I'm a House representative from District 12, which is, I don't know, this thing is looking at me right in the eye or something. City of Springfield. I'm here today with a constituent of mine, Robert Schwartz, and Robert actually was my opponent in the last elections when we got to know each other. Started talking about this particular issue that other people had brought to my attention, and it appeared that it was something that we ought to start working on. As most of you obviously know, harassment by electronic means is something that's growing and getting a bigger problem. And in talking and working with issue he brought forward in that, we discovered this whole thing about the anonymous text messaging. So another level of complication in being able to track back and know who's doing it. I just want to share a couple, three things in a study that Pew did recently about the growth in harassment and what's occurring. And so obviously it's happening to men, women, children, everybody. Has been impacted by this, but when they talk about the categories, so the categories first and foremost is calling offensive names, which doesn't seem like a lot to begin with, but if somebody's doing it over and over and over, obviously has an impact. Then purposely embarrassing, so there's more and more of this occurring, trying to ruin a person's reputation or what they believe in. Physical threats, harassment for sustained periods, stalked, sexually harassed. So in some of those categories, it's more than 30% of adults, either males or females, that are suffering from this types of harassment. But when we look at young women, the experience, then it, obviously the statistics go way up to more than 50% in many of those categories. And so from my perspective, when I heard about this, and the more I read about and hear about harassment, bullying, all those things that occur, and the technology now that makes it so much easier for people to hide from those being able to do it, it made sense to me. And so while I'm not a big pusher necessary for a task force, given the complications and the ramifications of this is something that I believe strongly and we need to do, and the task force is probably the best way to start ferreting out what the issue says. So I appreciate your consideration of this bill.
Hi, my name is Robert Schwartz, and all I'd like to add to that is that for me, most of the harassment happened, it coincided with a custody hearing. And so, you know, it almost seemed like witness tampering to me, which, you know, offends my sense of justice. And, you know, so me and Representative Lively got a chance to know each other a little bit. And then, you know, he knew that this was distressing me. And as soon as the election was over, he was just like, you know, let me try and help you.
Any questions? Senator,
I think this is a commendable bill, and I'm really excited that you brought it forward, and I thank you, and I think it's a great example of how legislators listen to their constituents even when they were their former opponents.
That's right.
It's great. My only question is the timeline, and I'm just curious about why it's so delayed, because it seems like a long time to have to wait until September of 2019, which is after the next long session. Mm-hmm. To take any action on this. I'd love to be able to move this up. I mean, I think it's probably late to amend the bill, though I don't know, but I'm just concerned about the timeline, I guess.
It's a report to September 29th.
Co-chairs, Senator Steiner Hayward, I can't answer that question, why we ended up there. We changed it from where we started multiple times, and frankly, I didn't question. I assumed it had to do with availability of staff and to put the resources together to do it. But other than that, I couldn't tell you why.
Do you have any, be able to answer this, Mr. Knott?
I don't know where I should sneak in.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Aaron Knott. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Department of Justice. As far as I know, that timeline was not our idea. We have taken on comparable task forces in subject matters that I would think of as more complex than this one, though this one has got some constitutional issues, in less time. So unless I missed something, it was not our idea.
Thank you. Well, it was someone's idea, so.
Well, if it, Madam Chair, if I may really quickly, if it's too late to get an amendment now, then.
I think once we get it here, I suspect that we're on, as you know, the track. Earlier when I opened up the committee, that we're not on poly-poly, which means slowly, slowly, slowly. We're on the rapid fire now. So I would suggest that, you know, some of us have been asked not to actually, if we can help it, to bring in new amendments and what have you to begin to report out. So if the author of this bill is okay with September 19th, I'm okay with September 19th.
Thank you.
Yes, Co-Chair Stark.
Madam Chair, just to point out, it does say no later than yes. September 15th, and I know of 2019, and we do have a habit in this building of pushing it to the last minute and sometimes after. You know, there's nothing that says that we can't be looking at something in September 15th of 2018, right. And so it'd be nice if we actually saw something earlier than the final deadline.
Thank you, Representative Stark. I think that's appreciated.
So I could get a motion?
Oh, probably one motion. No amendments, right?
No.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3061
to the floor with the, to full committee with the due path recommendation.
Co-Chair Stark moves House Bill 3061 to the full committee with the due path recommendation. Is there further discussion? Is there an objection? And so, Representative Huffman, would you like to take this to, no, I want him to take the floor.
Oh.
Representative Huffman, would you like to take this to full?
I would love to, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Well, I, you know, this is a full participatory democracy committee.
And I'm sure Representative Lively will love.
And I have Lively right there on the floor. I'm sure.
Okay, for Ways and Means.
Oh. Yeah, yours for Ways and Means, and I'll take this
in case
I
get pony ass.
So I'm going to close the hearing on 3061 and thank all of you. And just to remind you that, and I know that you're probably going to have floor at 4, and as I said in my opening remarks, we're at the part of session where things are going to be quickly, and most of what we'll be doing now is bills to work session. And as you know, we cannot work session bill without a quorum. So just, be alert. Things can happen very quickly now, between now and the time that we sign and die. So
quickly enough.
Yes, I'm with you. But they will. Things are very much on a short notice from here and the time that we actually adjourn. So I want to thank you very much for your attendance.
All right.
We are adjourned. For your attendance.
All right.
We are adjourned.